have such an amazing episode for you guys today. I cannot wait for you to hear this fascinating conversation that I had with Stasia Oshna. But first, I'd like to let you know that in our conversation, we do mention trauma, PTSD, depression, and anxiety, as well as substance abuse. If you or someone you know is struggling with any of those, you have so many resources that you can reach out to. If you go to the show notes of this episode, I have included some links and phone numbers. You should never feel embarrassed or ashamed to reach out and get help for yourself or others in a time of need. And with that, I hope you all are doing well and having a wonderful day, and I will see you in the episode.
Hey, welcome to the Weights, Wellness, and Witchery podcast, the podcast that touches on everything wellness from the physical to the metaphysical. I'm your host, Grace Elizabeth. I'm a certified personal trainer and a wellness coach who specializes in making you feel awesome from the inside out. So if feeling awesome is something that you're interested in, I highly suggest you stick around because, as I mentioned before, that's kind of my thing. All right, let's do this. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Weights, Wellness, and Witchery podcast. I am your host, Grace Elizabeth, and I have with me today a very special guest. Her name is Stasia Oshna. She is a clinical hypnotherapist, a life coach, a trauma-informed yoga instructor, and a past life regression therapist. Wow, that is a lot of really awesome things. So, welcome.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Grace. Thank you for having me. I love the name of your podcast, too.
Oh, thank you.
So fun.
Thank you. And initially, I was going to do Weights, Wellness, and Woo, but the woo part felt a little too Gwyneth Paltrow-y to me, so yeah, I had to switch it up.
Totally. No, I love – actually, I think witchery is my favorite part of it, so I'm glad you switched it to that.
Yeah. So I'm so happy to have you here. And, I mean, I think everyone could tell just from the list of specialties and things that you do with your life, like, you sound like a really, really interesting and awesome person. And I'm just, like, I'm so ready to dive into – your journey and what led you to, you know, getting into clinical hypnotherapy and past life regression and all these things. So I've never even heard of a trauma-informed yoga instructor before. So I'm super excited to hear all about that. So let's just, just take it away.
All right. Thank you. Yeah, I know it's quite a lot. But that's just kind of, you know, I'm continuing to learn. I love just being a student, learning new modalities that can really help people. So, these are ones that I just really love to work with. And I've been doing this work for the last decade, but I started learning about all these tools quite a long time ago. And my path was that, you know, as you can tell, like, you know, trauma-informed yoga instructor, that's very specific. That kind of speaks to, you know, why I got into them. And that is, you know, very, very common. I think a lot of people find themselves in this sort of field where they're working in a therapeutic way with people because we've had our own sorts of experiences in life and recovered from them. And really that, you know, that is part of my journey is I'm somebody who comes from a background of trauma and an abuse, and somebody who suffered with clinical depression for a very long time and grief. And I lived with those things. I lived with PTSD as well, which was a very scary thing. I used to have, you know, pretty serious panic attacks. My panic attacks were so severe, in fact, that I would have my body would start to shake. I would go into tetany and I would pass out. Wow. And yeah, it was really scary. So, you know, I was as a teenager, living with all of this and really not having any resources. And you know, no therapy other than my school guidance counselor to really help me. But also feeling like really just like kind of at my wit's end, like I can't live this way. I love to read as a teenager, and I started this is back in the day when people would like actually go to a library and check out books, and not so much anymore. But you know, I remember at the time as a teenager starting to pick out books from the library that were kind of on what was then pretty obscure topics like Buddhism and yoga and other like Eastern philosophies. And I was really into like transcendentalism as well, like Henry David Thoreau and Ralph Waldo Emerson, and you know, all of their writings about nonconformity and our connection with the earth, and just finding all these books that I really connected with. And I found that to be almost like a form of therapy for me, where I could just kind of, I could explore these topics that I didn't grow up with. I grew up in Indiana in a very conventional family, conventional American family, you know, a Christian family. Mm-hmm. And so these were things that just I was learning about for the first time. I remember specifically reading a book about Buddhist meditation, a Buddhist meditation technique that just kind of blew my mind. This book really dove into the idea that we could become objective with our own minds, our mind and emotions. And I remember at the time just feeling like my mind and emotions were completely unmanageable. You know, I was, mm-hmm. I mean, I was having like all of these trauma responses that were just completely unmanageable and were dictating my life in so many ways. And it was just a radical idea to me that I could actually start to engage with my mind differently. So I started practicing meditation as a teenager, also yoga. And when I say yoga, I mean not just like doing the physical exercises, but I was very into yogic philosophy.
Like the real yoga.
Yeah. Yeah. Like, you know, Westerners don't always know that.
No, absolutely. Yeah.
Yoga is a whole lifestyle in India. It's like, you know,
it is. Yeah. My mother, and actually that's funny. I grew up in a Christian household as well. Mm-hmm. And then, when I was a teenager, like, I think I was like 16 or 17, my parents got divorced. And at that time, mm-hmm. like they both kind of came into their true selves, I think, after that. Yeah. And my mom became a holistic health practitioner. She went and did yoga training and like real yoga training. Mm-hmm. And so she is very much into all of that. And she does, you know, the chanting and kundalini.
Oh, cool.
Yeah,
Kundalini, like, yeah.
Kundalini, yeah, and all of that stuff. So I haven't had a chance to like really get into it yet, other than just kind of regular, the physical part of yoga. So yeah. I've been exposed to it and I've heard a lot about it. So I personally know that there's way more to it than I've even had a chance to explore yet. So I'm definitely interested in hearing more about that and knowing mm-hmm. that you have a little more expertise on that as well. So, okay. Sorry.
I love hearing that. That is so cool that your mom is a holistic health practitioner and she's into yoga, like, and really into it. And there's not, you know, it's not to diss on people who are using it for exercise. Yoga, you know, there's all kinds of yoga that people can practice. But for me, And to be, you know, totally honest, I did start practicing mostly to become more flexible. But, you know, yoga is tricky. It's sneaky. It's like you start practicing it and then you're like, it starts to open you up. And that's what they call them asanas. That's what the postures are called. They're mm-hmm. they're actually intended to open us up energetically as well. And so if you're practicing it, it is very common that people just start practicing the physical exercises and they start to feel different in their body and in their mind and emotions. And that's because these poses are doing a lot more than just increasing flexibility. So I just fell in love with the yoga practice and then I, you know, really got kind of obsessed with the yogic philosophy too. And I studied psychology in school. When I was in my early 20s, that's when I found my first psychotherapist to work with. And that was crucial for me, you know, on top of all these sort of Eastern avenues of thought and philosophies that I was exploring, just having exploring traditional therapy, and then also support groups. Because of my background and my parental dynamic with, you know, having what my parents modeled for me, I had a very codependent way of behaving, really extremely unhealthy, actually. And so I would go to CODA, which is Codependents Anonymous meetings. My father was an alcoholic, so I also would even go to Al-Anon and sometimes even AA meetings. I never struggled with a substance abuse problem. I found all of the support groups, especially as like a kind of a broke 20-something-year-old. I found support groups to be really helpful because they're donation-based. Right. So I always throw that out there whenever I hear people that are like, therapy is too expensive. It totally is. Like, unfortunately, for the average person, it is. But support groups can be so useful. And there's a lot more available than I think most people are aware of. But so I kind of just very early on in my life really committed and became very dedicated to my own self-healing. And I think just, you know, for me and just like for so many, what happened was once I started practicing meditation and yoga, seeing a therapist, I immediately started to feel better. You know, it wasn't like I felt completely better, that my life all of a sudden was like amazing, but I started to notice like, okay, I am starting to feel better, I'm starting to just imagine a better quality of life for myself. And that gave me some hope, like there was a different way for me to live. And so I just continued. And I went on to study all these different modalities that I'm now giving to people, and have, of course, been committed to my own work with different therapists and healers, and, you know, just my own self-healing and self-development. So yeah, that's a little bit of my story. I mean, you know, I kind of glazed over some of the specifics of like what my trauma looked like, but hopefully that gives some sense of what it was like for me.
Yeah, I think that definitely paints the picture of, you know, what got you to where you are today and a little bit of the journey on your way there and really what led you into this, all of these different modalities that you're studying and teaching and using. So that's awesome. Thank you so much for sharing that with us. I know it can be hard to even just share, you know, the fact that you experienced trauma. So, and
yeah,
you know, you seem to use that, I think, as, you know, right, your way that you're relating to people, you're doing trauma-informed yoga, so you're, you know, specifically reaching out to these people that have experienced similar things to you have. So I'm sure there's you're used to sharing it, but I always am very I'm very appreciative, and I'm very aware that those are hard things to share no matter how many times. So
it is, you know, it's very obviously it requires quite a lot of vulnerability to open up and share. But I also, the way that I really kind of get over that hump for myself is I have gotten so much positive feedback from people who either listen to me on a podcast or whatever, somewhere I'm discussing my experience. And I've gotten a lot of feedback from people who are like, I went through something similar, or, you know, there's like hearing me talk about my own experience in some way valid. And it normalizes us having these conversations, because for too long we have really had it's been problematic, or it's just not common for people to have conversations about trauma and about mental health. And it's changing a lot, but I think these conversations are crucial for that, for us to really shift that.
Absolutely. I absolutely agree with you there. I myself have struggled with depression and anxiety probably for a lot longer than I realized because I never got an official diagnosis until after I had my son, and I was diagnosed with postpartum depression and anxiety. And I kind of realized at that point that, it had been a lot longer that I had been struggling with that. So I definitely, having these conversations and opening up and really talking about what it actually looks like, and how people are experiencing it as an individual. Obviously, it's very different for everyone. So I do agree with you that these are super important conversations.
No, I totally agree. And postpartum is, I think, so common. And I, you know, from women I know that I've experienced that, I think that there often tends to be quite a lot of shame for having that experience. And just like for anything, you know, I used to feel so much shame over the fact that I had struggled with depression. And, you know, even after I started on the healing journey, it was still, it didn't like just go away immediately.
Right. Yeah.
You know, it was like, stuff is deep. So it takes time, and that's all right.
Yeah, absolutely. And you're right about kind of the guilt around the postpartum depression. And so, and when you're in that state, it's like, so amplified by the fact that, one, your hormones themselves are just already insane, and then of course you're experiencing depression, and then you're also experiencing the pressure of just being a new mom, and when all those things combine, it very much makes it hard to accept what you're dealing with and then actually reach out for help, which it is for anyone experiencing any type of mental health issue or trauma or anything like that. So definitely kind of doing what you can as a person who is in this industry or who struggles with these things to destigmatize all of them, so that the people who do need help are more comfortable reaching out and getting help is super important. And you mentioned, you know, that it doesn't get better right away, and it's deep, right? There's so many layers to these things. And over the years, you know, there's times where you do think, you know, like I feel like I'm better, and then something happens and like all the same stuff kind of get dredged up again, and you experience it all over again. And it's never like for me, it's never been fully gone. It's just that I'm better at learning these ways how to cope with it and how to process it in a healthy way.
Right. Yeah. I was just thinking about that earlier today, that it's not that they go away. Like, they transform in a way. Our relationship to these things transforms. And then we also learn ways to kind of self-regulate and kind of manage those parts of us that experience those things. And I like to encourage people to think of, you know, whatever they're going through as a part of them. You know, we're all very complex and dynamic. So, you know, if you're experiencing an issue like depression, for me, you know, I can recognize, okay, that's a part of me. And when I also look at myself like that objectively, I can see that that's a very specific part of me that had a set of experiences, and it makes sense that I developed depression because of those set of experiences. And I have a lot of compassion for myself for that, because, you know, it really makes sense when I look at myself and see, you know, what I went through, that naturally I would develop the way that I did and go through depression. But it's been really empowering for me to then learn how to kind of be the caretaker of myself and go back and kind of retrieve and update that part of me that really, you know, that did go through these experiences, that is completely valid for experiencing depression as an effect of what I experienced.
So when you say, what did you say? Go back and
retrieve and update.
Retrieve and update. That sounds that sounds cool and interesting. So definitely.
Yeah.
So that would be like, is that in the hypnotherapy realm or what? Where would that come about?
I love how you noticed that. Yeah, very specific language. So I'm also studying a psychological model called internal family systems, and which is IFS for short. And IFS is becoming really popular. It's been around for a while. It was developed by a psychologist named Dr. Richard Schwartz, and my personal therapist uses this therapy modality, and I learned about it several years ago, and over the last year I've been studying it actually in their program. And so essentially the theory is that we all have what is called self energy, and that is like our conscious self, and this is kind of also the part you know, if you looked at it from a mindfulness perspective, it's like the mindful observer of ourself. Mm-hmm. And then we have these subparts of our personality. And these are parts of us that develop as a response to experiences in life. And they tend to be unconscious. And so the work of IFS is about finding these parts of us and, you know, finding out where maybe they're stuck in the past and they're actually like still in that past experience, you know. So if somebody experienced trauma, for example, in their childhood, in, you know, a specific situation or multiple situations that kind of reinforced that trauma, that part of you might actually be still there. Like Lewis is, people also talk about like inner child healing, and often, mm-hmm. you know, it's very similar, but in IFS language, we would say we have multiple inner childs. We have, you know, all these different subparts of our personality that get trapped in trauma, and they need to be updated and like really like brought into this conscious, like through our own self energy, made conscious and pulled into the present in a loving way through using our own self-love to kind of integrate them into a place of like embodiment, self-embodiment, where they live unburdened by these experiences. And that's like, that is the work of finding the part inside of you and really like extending your own love and consciousness to it, and then bringing it into the present, like showing it around, showing this part of you that you don't live there anymore. You get to be here. You're not in that traumatic environment anymore, that traumatic situation. And I found that to be really helpful. That's all IFS language.
That is so interesting. And it's like hearing you talk about it, I'm already like, wow, I need to do this.
I have
so many children that need to be updated.
Oh, we all do, girl.
No, but it's super like just the language and the way that, you know, you talk about it as far as like, you know, going back and like catching that inner child that's stuck, like catching them up to where you are now and showing them mm-hmm. that, you know, you're living in a different world essentially, or,
yeah,
you know, and right. you can kind of let go of what's stuck in the past. And that's right. Like so important. And I personally find that so interesting. Mm. I think just yeah. really all these tools and like, I mean, every single person could benefit from these types of tools, because it's causing you to be introspective in a way that a lot of us might tend to avoid, especially mm-hmm. especially if we have experienced trauma.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that's just so powerful about giving people, instead of just saying, you know, oh, well, you need to be more self-aware, you need to be introspective, and like, because, like, okay, cool, like, how do I do that? I personally have just kind of been one of those people that is very introspective, and because it's, like, comes so naturally to me, I have, you know, had many, many conversations with lots of people in my life that I have realized that it doesn't come as naturally to everyone.
Yeah.
So these types of tools, and I think just, you know, people who are doing the similar work that the work that you're doing and helping other people learn to use these tools and helping them to become introspective and really pull out those subconscious things that are probably lying somewhere deep in there.
Mm-hmm.
Their unconscious minds. Yeah. It is really important. And I just think it's really cool. I think I'm just, at this point, I'm just fangirling over the work Aww. You're doing.
Thank you. Well, hey, I'll fangirl over you too. And just say, you know, the fact that you've been naturally introspective really speaks to, you know, just how courageous you are to do that. And it's not easy to be introspective often. You know, you reveal mm-hmm. that you're somebody who has had some trauma and you've experienced depression, and it's, you know, it makes sense that people avoid that, right? Like it can be painful to relive this stuff, and you know, and it takes some work for us to get to the point where we can even start to look at ourselves introspectively. I remember when I first started really examining myself with my therapist when I was, you know, young. I remember just, oh my gosh, some rough therapy sessions of just being like, I remember one therapy session where I was sitting across from my therapist and she asked me the simple question, how do you feel? You know, how does that make you feel? And I remember just staring at her blankly. Like, I was never introspective in the way that I, you know, she was asking me, like, how do I feel? I was like, I remember just thinking, like, what are you talking about?
Well, and that's a good point, because, like, I definitely, up until I was probably, I don't know, in my early 20s or, like, even like a little bit more mid-20s, like, definitely was not always very in tune with my emotions, but I was very good at looking logically at the things that I was feeling, quote unquote feeling, right? And like unpacking the way I was acting or kind of assessing myself, but I was not always good at actually connecting that to a feeling that I was experiencing. So that's like a whole nother level of introspectiveness that you know, like, in one area I'm great at, and then in the other area there's, you know, I'm definitely lower on the scale as many other people who are much more in tune with their emotions. So for me, a lot of my journey has been allowing myself to feel emotions, and then which opening that door kind of led to the floodgates opening of, like, now I can't control these emotions, right? Because I was very so detached from them, I didn't know how to work with them in any way. And so I'm finally now coming to the point where it's like, okay, I can feel them, I can accept them for what they are, and I can work through them and not let them manage me so much. So it's a
beautiful
now, it's really a long, many step process. And like I said, like, for me, it's one of those things where it's not like, yep, I'm better now and I have it all together. It's like one of those things where it's like, I can realize when I'm, you know, being triggered or when I'm responding in a certain way because of certain things. And then I know what I need to do for myself to, you know, get me through this period. And so I think that, that's kind of part of what I want to do with this podcast, and having, you know, having you on, having more people like you on here is like, letting people know that there are tools you can use to make this, like, possible. It's possible.
Yes.
It's not easy, but it is possible.
It's not easy, but this is, like, the thing is, once you, and I just want to say, like, that is so beautiful, the relationship that you've taken with yourself. Just learning how to first allow yourself to feel, which is so, I mean, that is a challenge for most of us, just allowing ourselves to feel. Like, so many of us have built up so many protective layers to not feel, just so that we can function, right? And sometimes it even comes down to just surviving. Like, we're just simply trying to survive, so we block out our feelings because we're like, no, I'm just trying to get through my life. And so feeling is something that sometimes, you know, for many of us just takes some real practice. And so great. That is awesome that you've come to that place, and it totally makes sense that once you kind of open the floodgates, it's overwhelming at first. But then you can learn how to manage, you can learn how to self-regulate, in a way that's, you know, that makes those feelings, those emotions more manageable. But the thing is this is a very difficult, it can be very difficult, the journey, for sure. But it also is deeply fulfilling, because, you know, once you start feeling things, it's like, this is what it's like to be alive. Like, you know, numbing out and not feeling things, regardless of how, you know, how difficult those feelings are. And, you know, I'll say too, if those feelings are unmanageable and they're affecting your life, there is no shame also in, you know, getting assistance through medication or whatever it is that you need in order to keep yourself safe. So I also would say, you know, if it is totally unmanageable, because there are points in time where it can be, you know, those things can be very difficult, but there's all kinds of resources. But feeling things is in essence, it's good. Once we start feeling them, we might need extra, you know, support through therapy, through psychiatry, through meditation, through yoga. There's so many tools, and but, you know, it's a part of the process is just allowing ourselves to feel, and I think that's, you know, like I said, that can start to also feel so empowering, because you start to feel more alive. You start to feel like, oh, I'm, you know, I'm like a living, breathing human being now. Like,
yes, absolutely. My life. Yes, I've had very similar revolutions like that. So yes, I completely, I can totally understand that. I am super, super interested in this past life regression therapy. Oh, cool. So yeah. This is something that like I've only heard about and I have not like actually researched even on my own. So yeah. I would love to hear about how you got into that, what that entails. Like, what does it even mean? Lay it on me.
Yeah. All right. Well, so let's see. I'll give a little bit more of a story. I don't normally go into the backgrounds of how I got into it, but I'm a clinical hypnotherapist, and you know I've gone as far as I can go in terms of studying hypnotherapy. I continue to study it, but I have like all of my advanced degrees in it. And one of my first introductions to hypnosis was actually past life regression therapy. It's a type of hypnosis, and I learned about it because I started reading the books by Dr. Brian Weiss, and he has some level of fame. Like, he was on Oprah, so he became quite popular. His first book that he wrote is called Many Lives, Many Masters, and it's an amazing book about his experience with a patient who he was doing age regression hypnosis with. So we can use hypnosis So hypnosis is like a place of high concentration but deep relaxation where the subconscious mind is more easily accessible. And the subconscious mind is the part of our mind that stores memories and patterns and a lot of stuff that we kind of push down, and it's not readily available in our conscious mind. And so he was doing age regression with a client, and he's a psychiatrist. He had no experience with past life regression therapy. He was doing age regression, so in this lifetime. But as he's working with this patient, it becomes very clear that she is regressing into a different time and fully recalling memories. And what was happening is after she would come out of those regressions, things were starting to change in her life in a really positive way. So fears and things were just being healed through this work. So he was somebody who was completely skeptical of this. Like, he did not believe, and I don't think he believed in reincarnation. So this was very unusual to him that this was happening. And he documented it, and he wrote this book, and he wrote more books, and I was just like, I couldn't believe this. I was like, what is this? this is wild. You can regress people into other lifetimes. So I was experiencing some, when I was like 25, I was experiencing, and just for perspective sake, that's about 10 years ago. I was experiencing some seemingly erratic, and I could not understand what was going on with me. I was having like a reoccurring thought that was very specific and super strange, and it was causing me a lot of stress. And I thought to myself, like, intuitively, maybe this, I can't connect it to anything in this lifetime. I've done so much therapy, you know, I'm at this point really deep in my therapy, you know, with my therapist. I have a hypnotherapist that I work with as well. And like, I don't know what this is. And so at the time I had a job working in the fashion industry, and I was traveling full time for a designer. And I had a trip planned to New Mexico. New Mexico, the Southwest in general, is just kind of a magical land for me. I love it there. And I thought, oh, well, maybe this is somehow connected to my past lives, this thing. And maybe I should look up a past life regression therapist while I'm there. And then I just decided, nope, you know what? I'm going to put it out there to the universe. If it's meant to be that, you know, I'm supposed to get a past life regression, experience a past life regression session, then it's just going to happen. I'm going to meet somebody. And sure enough, the first day I got into Santa Fe, I was at a cafe. And I like to chat with people anywhere I am. And so I'm at the cafe, and there's this lady that's sitting next to me, and we start chatting. And we're sitting at the bar of this cafe and just having a fun time chatting. And I had just gotten into town, and I ask her, so what do you do? And what are the chances that this lady says, I'm a past life regression therapist?
No way.
It's like
the universe didn't even give you any time and did not make you wait at all. It was just like, all right, fine, there you go.
Yeah, it was wild. I was like, I just kind of chuckled and I was like, this is crazy, you know. And I told her that I had set an intention, that if it was meant to be, that I was supposed to get a past life regression session while I was in New Mexico, I'd meet somebody. And what are the chances you're the first person I meet?
That is, that's great.
So I book a session with her that evening. And I had a wild experience. I just got everything I needed to, I needed to understand from that session. It's a form of hypnosis where we are regressing into other lifetimes. Our subconscious stores all kinds of memories and they are accessible. So I found myself re-experiencing a lifetime that totally explained that fear that I was having. And it did go away. It went away. And in fact, like, it was tied to somebody. And then I understood the relationship with that person in this lifetime better. I went on to obviously study that and learn with teachers and took multiple courses. And I actually got to study with Brian Weiss as well.
Oh, nice.
Yeah.
Was it one of those never meet your heroes experiences, or did it go really well?
It was great. It was great. You know, although he was, I don't know how he does what he does. I don't know if he's still touring, but this was a little while ago, and I think he might be in his 70s when I met him. You know, he's an elderly man. Yeah. So I was like, God, I can't believe this man has the patience to do this event, because he was wonderful. And he has like quite a fan base. And no, he seemed very sweet. And he did some group regressions for this, you know, for everyone. And they were fantastic. And he has quite a background being a psychiatrist and now doing this work. So, you know, he's got wonderful experience. But yeah, what I'm experiencing with my clients when they receive past life regression therapy is it can certainly do what it did for me, which help us to make sense of things in this current lifetime. I could tell so many interesting stories, even just this week with clients that are having just the weirdest, connections. And it's just so cool for them. It's unlike any other sort of thing that I'm offering in a way. And it also really gives people this empowering awareness of themselves as being greater than this lifetime. And that often just makes people feel like more grounded, more empowered, more like just solid in who they are and what their purpose is. A lot of that'll show up for people too. They start to imagine, you know, a different sort of unfolding of what their life could be.
This is absolutely fascinating, and like, you're talking right now and I'm like, I'm hitting you up after this, because I'm gonna have to book something with you.
I'd love to, anybody that's interested. it's super fun as well, and you know, sometimes they're really crazy. Sometimes we've had really bad experiences in our past lives.
Right.
But sometimes that stuff is carried over, and we find that. And I take a really gentle approach with people. So I also know how to, if they're feeling overwhelmed in a session. So first of all hypnosis is self-hypnosis, and is an expression that like therapeutic hypnotherapists like to use. And that is to say that I am not in control of you in a session. Your subconscious mind will not allow you to go too far. It will protect you. So if something is traumatic and you find yourself like, you know, you don't want to relive that trauma, we'll pull back. And I will, you know, we'll like take more of an observer perspective, or we'll totally go into like a garden or somewhere like to disengage from it. Cause I just really try to take a very gentle approach with my clients. Mm-hmm. I want them to feel fully supported, and I don't think pushing ourselves is good at all. I like to kind of work the edge of these things so that we're not just kind of jumping into places that might be painful or traumatic to re-experience. So.
Right. Absolutely. That makes perfect sense. And sounds like you're doing it in a way that's going to, you know, be the most beneficial and the best way to kind of ease into something like that, especially if you're someone who hasn't, you know, like, if this is like your first, like, you know, dipping your toe in the water into even being introspective, that I can imagine that could be really hard. So,
For sure.
Like you said, I mean, how long have you been studying the past life regression?
So, well, I started learning about it when I was just about 25. And so it's almost a decade. It's almost 10 years.
Wow.
And then I've been using it with clients for, I think, like 7 years now. And you're totally right. Like, dip your toes in a little bit, especially if you're not used to being introspective. I had an experience when I was 21. I went to go live in an ashram. And I had barely started to dip my toes into this kind of introspective work. And imagine this, I'm living in a yoga ashram and meditating 6 hours a day all of a sudden. And we're doing we hosted like different, this was a real ashram. It was really, it was really cool. But it was also like really overwhelming as a 21-year-old who had all kinds of stuff in her psyche that was, you know, intense. And I don't regret that experience, but I do remember, you know, quite often just feeling like kind of frozen in my own mental state of just not knowing how to handle what was showing up for me as I was diving into that introspective place. So
yeah, I can definitely say when I was 21, I was still creating demons for myself. I was I was not taking any time to turn around and look at them.
Yeah, well, that makes sense. I had plenty of that before I was 21. plenty of that. There was a period of time of just, let's like make the demons for sure. Oh my goodness.
It sucks because, you know, growing up, just being a human, part of life is that, like, you don't know freaking anything.
Oh my gosh.
Know nothing. And like, I'm definitely the kind of person that's like, let me learn every lesson in the hardest way possible.
Aww,
and then I can, you know, learn something and then I'll not do that again. But like, first I need to go like, you know, head first. And yeah. So, and then, you know, you get older and you look back and you're like, oh my God, why did I do that? It's like, oh yeah, cause I didn't know anything. So.
Wow. I am so relating to you. I think I was like that.
Yeah.
That could be even a response to our lives where we are like an unconscious response to, oh my God, like I need to do something different. Like some sort of, I think for me, there was almost a sense of urgency to live a different type of life that I felt like I needed to do a lot very quickly. And so I would push myself really, really quickly, but there's time, you know, we can be gentle and, you know, move at, you know, a slower pace, things, and with support if you can have a support system through therapy, through support groups, through family and through healthy friendships and relationships, you know, that makes it so much easier as well. If you really have like a good support network around, makes it so much easier.
I like the kind that the idea of this being like a therapy and being, you know, kind of this guided tool that is almost something that like most people can kind of wrap their head around, you know, even hypnotherapy, like it's a little, you know, it's not regular therapy, but like people will try it for anything, right? Like even for smoking cigarettes, like super common stuff where it's like, okay, try a hypnotherapist. And it kind of like opens this door to people who might not like actually think about these kinds of things or take the time to, or like are not into anything else that would lead them there. You know what I mean?
Right.
So, I think that's super cool that that's like an option that's out there and that's work that's being done. Mm-hmm.
It's usually something, you know, past life regression therapy is usually something that people are really specifically drawn to. Mm-hmm. And so it's, you know, it's something that is really cool to offer, and I am finding it to give people positive results. Even hypnotherapy is, it's becoming a little bit more normal. It's just that unfortunately through media people, it's been portrayed as like something that it's not. And, you know, it is a really empowering tool. I know I use the word empowering a lot in that, but that is because it is, you know, it's something that gives people a different awareness of themselves, of their mind. And it's, I always say that, you know, what I'm really trying to do is to help wake people up from the state of hypnosis that they're already in. Mm. Because people are already hypnotized. This is what I'm offering people is a way to awaken from that, to understand the trance or trances that they're currently existing in. And so, give a very practical example. Say somebody grew up in a situation where they were yelled at a lot by a parent figure, or, you know, another strong adult figure. And as a result, they found themselves kind of cowering around authority figures, and they get really quiet. Maybe they get really small, and that's their way of kind of handling that situation. And as a child, it makes a lot of sense that that is the response. But if that hasn't been healed or like consciously dealt with, what will often happen is that will transfer into adulthood. And so somebody could be maybe in work situations, and maybe they'll find themselves with a boss who yells. And in that situation, they might find themselves doing the same thing that they did as a child and cowering, becoming small, rather than standing as like an assertive adult, assertive conscious adult. They find themselves just going into a regressed childhood trance. They're in a state of hypnosis. You've gone unconscious. You're no longer consciously engaged in that situation. And, you know, that's what I help people awaken to and, you know, really discover that's you going into a trance. And it doesn't feel empowering to find yourself in that situation. Mm-hmm. It feels far more empowering to awaken from that and to be able to, again, like we said kind of at the beginning of this conversation, like update that child that's still living in that old place and be able to stand really strongly and firmly in your adult, in your conscious adult self, and to handle that situation differently. So
yeah. This has been like such a freaking cool conversation.
Thank you
for sharing. You've shared so much, and I like really appreciate that, because it's been all of like really cool to just learn about, and like the stories and everything's been super awesome. And so I could definitely go on forever, right, talking about this.
Same.
And obviously we both got lives that we got to get back to at some point, unfortunately. But I'm definitely gonna talk to you some more, but and over Instagram, and we'll connect more for sure. And before we sign off, if someone who's listening to this right now has an interest in any of these things, whether it be past life regression, maybe they're interested in a hypnotherapy session or your trauma-informed yoga, where can they go to work with you or learn more, or how can they connect with you?
Yes, thank you. So you can find my website. It's just stasiaashna.com. So there's a lot of A's in the middle of that. I have a lot of A's in my name.
You do.
I have a work with me page on that site. And through that, there is an application to apply for a discovery call with me. I offer a free 30-minute call for people who are interested, just to kind of see how I might be able to work with and support people. I also do just traditional life coaching, and I've started integrating internal family systems into that work as well. So that is an option. And then my social media channel that I'm really the most active on is Instagram, and it's just stasia.oshna. That's my handle. And I love interacting with people through Instagram. If you want to send me a DM, I do my best. I always respond to them. Sometimes they get a little heavy because I get a lot of messages, but it doesn't take me any longer than a week to get back if you do. So those are kind of my most active channels.
Awesome. And I'll definitely put links in the show notes to those as well. So, and your name will be spelled out in the title for anyone who's wondering just how many A's are in there.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. And thank you so much for your time today. This was like such a valuable and awesome discussion. I think that what you're doing is so incredible and just so needed.
Thank you, Grace.
And yeah, I look forward to us having more conversations like this in the future.
I love that. Thank you. And I love what you're doing too. Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah, of course. You are welcome back anytime.
Aw, thanks, Grace.